Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mule can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said.
I just want to say one more time, thank you for your graciousness in allowing me to share your worship time. You guys are so very special to me, and it always feels like home when we're together. So thank you. Would you pray with me? Lord God, let the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Through Christ. Amen. So have you ever wanted something so much and were disappointed when it didn't happen just like you pictured it would? Me too. It happens a lot, I have to admit. And I think this is something that we could even trace as a theme throughout humanity. Our expectations are never met. Or rather, I will argue they are met, just never in the way that we picture, the way that we expect them to be. Expectations. They can certainly mess with our minds, can't they? Who here hasn't had at least one expectation in life that did not come through as planned? I'm reminded of a movie that just seems to fit so well with the subject of expectations. And it may sound familiar to you guys because once upon a time, a long time ago, I did use this as an illustration in another sermon. But I'm using it a little differently today. And I'm speaking of the movie Shrek. Shrek is this big, ugly ogre who says he likes his alone time. That is, until he meets the Princess Fiona. At the beginning of the movie, Fiona is your typical fairy tale princess, locked away in a tower. She's expecting to be rescued by her prince. And she is rescued, but by Shrek, not Prince Charming. Not what she expected. And then we find out that Fiona also has a secret. At night, because of a curse cast on her, she turns into an ogre herself. So she lives as a fairy tale princess during the day and an ogress by night. And it's expected that true love's kiss will break the spell and she'll be returned to her true self. So she's set on marrying this guy named Lord Farquhar to break that curse. And later on in the movie, when she thinks that true love's kiss is about to free her of the curse, well, it does, but not quite how she thought. It's not Lord Farquhar that she kisses, but Shrek. And instead of turning her into that perfect fairy tale princess, Fiona's true self is revealed, and she's an ogre permanently. If you know the story, then you know that Fiona is still a fairy tale princess, but unlike one we have ever expected. Do you hear the theme that's woven throughout that story? Grand things occur, things that are good for the characters and the world that they live in. But not one result comes to fruition as expected. There are so many different lessons for us in this story, I believe. But the one that strikes me most of all is about expectations. The dictionary definition of expectations is the act or state of looking forward to or anticipating a prospect of future good or profit, or the degree of probability that some will occur. Fiona expected to be freed and have the curse broken. When I look at expectations through the lens of our Christian faith, there are two thoughts that stand out for me. And the first is that we have a good and great God, and it is right to expect good and great things from Him. I think that when we expect from God, God delights in sharing with us His creative ways of fulfilling those expectations. And the second is that when we put very specific details on our expectations, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. When we expect from God, but then dictate how we want God to live up to those expectations, we rarely get what we want. Do you hear Naaman's story in Fiona's? Full of expectations that are held, good things happen for him. Yet none of those expectations are met as he thought they should be. So we start with the typical war hero, a national leader. Here we have this great man, second in command of all of Aramea, or Aram, who has to deal with the social stigma of leprosy, that skin disease. He has all this fame and victory, we're told, because the Lord has given it to him. So here's our first unexpected event. God gives victory to a nation that is a political enemy of Israel, and does it through this prestigious military officer who has a physical affliction with an enormous social stigma. And for the Israelites that he comes in contact with, it will cause them ritual uncleanliness. And that leads us to our Israeli slave girl. She noticed Naaman's skin condition and knew what it meant for her to be in contact with him. It caused that ritual uncleanliness. But still, she braves all the normal social expectations and offers up the information about the prophet Elisha in her homeland. And we're not done yet. We have the king of Israel, who is expected to bring healing to Naaman by virtue of the letter from the Aramean king. It's important to know that he thinks this letter is a ruse to instigate military conflict, because he's looking at it through the eyes of international diplomacy. You see, social relationships were the currency of the day, not coins. Value, honor, and loyalty regulated a maintained society more than profit or legal jurisprudence. The gifts that Naaman brought to the king of Israel, the silver and gold and the garments, they were not for trade, but they were rather to establish a social bond with the king of Israel. So basically, it was like Naaman saying, "Here, these are for you. Now we're friends. And as friends, you are now obligated to do whatever the king of Aramea has asked of you in the letter." We know the letter asked for healing for Naaman, but the king of Israel knows he cannot provide that healing. He said, "Who am I? God?" Right? But he can't reject these gifts either. He is in a lose-lose situation. To refuse the gifts and turn down that social bond would cause more political conflict. But to accept the gifts and then not cure Naaman's leprosy would also violate the required social responsibility. What is a king to do with such a dilemma? Thank goodness the prophet Elisha steps up and says that God can heal Naaman. So Naaman hurries over to Elisha's place. Except There's a problem now in Elisha's reception of Naaman, or rather, lack thereof. See, being the grand military hero that he was, Naaman expected to be greeted by the prophet himself and in a very grand way. This important figure is met simply outside by Elisha's messenger and given instructions to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And as Ruth said, Naaman reacts. He's insulted. How dare Elisha treat him like someone so common? And plus, the Jordan River? Despite the modern tales we may have heard about it, it is again like Ruth said. It's a muddy little trickle. It's not more than a creek, and it's dirty. So not only did Elisha seemingly diss him, he told him to go for a swim in dirty water. It is definitely not what Naaman expected. So Naaman's servant then is able to convince him to try this simple recipe for healing, another unexpected source. Such a great man actually listening to someone who serves him? But Naaman does. And in the physical healing, Naaman's heart is changed as well. And I think this is the key to the whole story. The physical healing of his leprosy was just a bonus, but the real healing took place within Naaman's heart. You see, I think Elisha had to treat Naaman with that disregard for position so that Naaman would learn that Elisha himself had absolutely nothing to do with the healing. It was all God. And at this point, Naaman probably wasn't trusting Elisha much at all. Elisha has disappointed Naaman. Trust. We can trust God even when our expectations aren't seemingly being met. For just as Naaman thought he wasn't getting what he needed, you and I can look back and say he did. And I believe that Naaman realized that afterwards too. Have you been disappointed by the people you were expecting something from? Have they not lived up to your expectations? It is the reality of life. People will not live up to our expectations. They will disappoint. But don't let that interfere with your trust in God, because God uses those who let us down. Elisha disappointed Naaman, yet God was in control and Naaman's needs were met. And at times, it even seems as if God is letting us down. And if we use our own expectations as the measure, then yeah, sometimes I guess God does let us down. However, if you and I are able to let go of our specific expectations and trust that we can expect God to meet our needs and provide for us in ways that we could never imagine, then we will experience blessings like never before. I think we'll be given the gift of seeing things as God does. And it's a little like this bulletin cover today. The small bowl is our world filled with our expectations. But when we let go of our need to control the details of those expectations and allow God to be great and good and creative, when we let go and trust God to meet our needs in the ways that God chooses, our world will expand like the bigger bowl. We will be blessed. So expectations are really about trust. We can trust God even when our expectations don't seem to be met. For just as Naaman thought he wasn't getting what he needed, you and I can look back and say he did. In our scripture text today, we learn that God works through the most unexpected people and things, through enemies and servants, through muddy little creeks, and through people who let us down. And this is the way that God has worked from the beginning of time throughout history and into our own lives. And the greatest unexpected expectation of all, you heard it just a little while ago, Jesus Christ. The expected Messiah came in the most unexpected form. And instead of growing up into a grand military hero like Naaman, as was expected, Jesus Christ grew up to take on death at the cross. So you and I no longer have to expect the sting of death, because it was taken away at crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. So, what to expect when you're expecting? It depends on how specific you are. God will do grand things in your life, but they will probably never look like you expect them to look. And you may not even recognize their significance until later in life. But, like all the unexpected instances in Naaman's story, God will live up to expectation and transform our hearts. In meeting our expectations with the unexpected, God will provide ways for our hearts and our minds to be opened and changed. It is good to expect from God. God is great and good. But sisters and brothers, try not to expect in great detail. Don't expect things to happen as you plan it to. As we said, it rarely matches up with our own picture of how things are supposed to play out. But it always is exactly what God knows we need it to be. Allow your expectations to be met in unexpected ways, and you will be transformed. Amen. Would you pray with me? O Lord, we give you our lives. Help us to expect great things from you, and help us to let go of our expectations, to trust you to care for us and bless us in ways that you choose. May our hearts, our minds, and our desires be yours. May our hands and our feet and our voices move as you would choose. And may our moments and days flow in endless praise. Amen.